Well, today on this first Saturday of Lent, we have the reading of the call of St. Matthew. In Scripture, he's called Levi, but it's the same man. Sometimes he's called Levi, sometimes he's called Matthew. So today we have the vocation, the calling of Matthew the tax collector, one of the most unique individuals that the Lord called. Out of all the fishermen that he called and others, Matthew was, of course, perhaps the most one that would raise eyebrows because he was a tax collector. He would have been hated. He would have been despised. He would have considered to be a traitor to the Jewish people. He was working with the Romans. And this area of Capernaum was a very well-traveled area. So to be the tax collector in this particular region would have been very lucrative because tax collectors were notorious for pocketing a lot of the money themselves, sometimes charging 2, 3, 4 times what was required. As long as Rome got their share, they could keep the rest. So we see that this choice of Matthew was, again, very shocking, very surprising, especially to the scribes and the Pharisees, and even to the other disciples. There's a beautiful portrayal of this in the movie Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe you can watch it during Lent. But there's a great scene where the Lord tells the parable of the prodigal son at the home of Matthew with all these sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes that are gathered around. And St. Peter is right outside the door listening and so upset that the Lord is welcoming sinners and forgiving them and offering them salvation. And Peter, it was like the older son who is so upset that the younger son is being welcomed back by the father. So again, a great portrayal in that movie, Jesus of Nazareth. So in today's gospel, we have the Lord approach Matthew, and he gives perhaps the shortest sermon in the history of sermons. Follow me. It doesn't get any shorter than that. A 2-word sermon. And yet that changes his life. It says Matthew gets up and he leaves everything. And Peter Kreef said he left everything but his pen, because eventually he would write one of the Gospels. But he left everything and followed Christ. And we see that because he was leaving a former way of life, he had a going away party. It says he threw a great banquet in honor of Jesus in his house. And those who came, of course, were his friends, other tax collectors, other notorious sinners. The most despised people in that whole region would have been at table with the Lord. And again, it says the scribes and Pharisees complained about this, complaining to the disciples, even complaining to the Lord. Why are you eating and drinking with notorious sinners, with tax collectors and those who break the law? And Jesus gives such a beautiful, compassionate reply. Those who are healthy do not need a doctor. They don't need a physician. The sick do. I have come to call not the righteous, or especially the self-righteous, because they don't admit that they're sinners. They don't admit that they need God's help. I've not come to call the righteous to repentance. I've come to call sinners. As Bishop Sheen once said, if we do not admit that we're sinners, we can never call Christ our Savior, because Jesus Christ came to save sinners, not the self-righteous. The self-righteous are blind to their own need of God's mercy and God's grace. So we need to admit that we need God's grace and God's help. But Pope Francis is very strong about this in his preaching. He says that the church is not a shrine for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. What a beautiful analogy. We are in the hospital. The Catholic Church is the hospital for sinners. That's why we have confession. That's why we have baptism. That's why we have the anointing of the sick and the last rites and of the holy sacraments. They are the divine medicine that the Lord gives us to become holy. Yes, we want to become saints. That's the calling. That's the vocation. So this, yes, we are sinners in the process of, with God's grace, being transformed into saints. That's what it's all about. But the first step, of course, is that we admit that we need God's grace. We admit that we need God's help. And then with God's grace, we become transformed with the power of the medicine that comes from the Word of God, from Scripture, from the sacraments, from a life of prayer, and then become the saints that God is calling us to be. Look at Matthew. A notorious sinner is now a canonized saint. When we look at the life of Matthew after he began to follow the Lord, he did write a gospel. He became one of the 12 apostles, one of the pillars of the church. And Matthew's gospel is so important because it links the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is the bridge between the old and new. That's why it's placed first, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you have the Old Testament that prefigures Christ, and then Matthew shows how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. In Matthew's gospel, of the 28 chapters, there are 40 direct quotations from the Old Testament and 60 other references to the Old Testament. Every one shows that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, that he is the Son of David, that he is the Son of God. And if it was not for Matthew's gospel, we would not have some of the beautiful insights and stories that only Matthew gives us. The Magi that traveled from the east, King Herod and the slaughter of the innocents, the flight into Egypt, the complete Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's declaration of Peter being the rock upon which he would build his church. The most full description of that is found in Matthew. The final judgment in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you gave me food, etc. All these things are found in St. Matthew's gospel. So today, as we had our reading of the conversion of St. Matthew, we think of his conversion and of how God's grace can transform a life from being a notorious sinner into a great saint.